off in Perek Halabos on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We got up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Torah Adam Baso Gvinim B'Mit Pachas Achas." A fellow is traveling on the road, and he has cheese that he plans to eat in one meal, and he has flesh that he plans to eat in another meal. He wraps everything up in the same towel. Eventually, of course, the meat and the cheese are not touching each other, so then there's no problem. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, and what if it is no gimzabze? Strictly speaking, there's no belief. For everything is cold, there's no belief. Even if it's warm, it's up until the point of Yatzoledis is considered tzainin. And there's no belief. So what's the problem? There's no belief. It's only derech bishalasuter, if it's cooked together. If it's not cooked together, if you have kabish kemvushal malich kereseach, that's basal b'chol of the rabbanon. Why is it basal b'chol rabbanon? Because at least there's a blia. But here, if it's tzainin b'tzainin, it's tzainin b'tzainin, there's just touching each other. There's no blia at all. So why does the Mishnah say that you shouldn't touch? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abai answer, and he, the klipa labo, you only need kadei klipa, kadei netila. If you have a bli, if you have kavish, if you have malich kereseach, if you have tzli, or if you have malich kereseach, then it goes kadei klipa, kadei netila. However, hadocha milabo, you will need hadocha. But if you have wrapped up in the same towel, but they're not touching each other, then you won't even need hadocha. Let's say if you do need hadocha, let's say you have a kosher fish are touching non-kosher fish. It's on the same table in the fish store. Or let's say they did non-kosher fish, and then they cut it up and they sold it to a non-Jewish customer. And then they're going to put the kosher fish on the same tray. So they usually don't do that. Usually in the fish stores, they're marketed for not religious purposes, even the Nochma Machma, not to mix up the flavors of the various fish. But you have to make sure that they have a separate knife, or they wash off the knife. They have a separate tray. They shouldn't mix the flavors together. So what happens if you do have, let's say, a kosher fish and a non-kosher fish touching? So in the Yeridei, it says that it's not enough with hadoche, because the fish, the schmaltz of the fish is going to get stuck on the kosher fish. So then you have to scrape off a layer of the fish. But just plain hadoche, you won't succeed in getting it off. Okay. But over here, by if you have the hard cheese touching the meat, you just do hadocha, you wash it off. But the Mishnah, it says you don't even need hadocha. Okay. Then the Mishnah quotes Rav Shimon Gamliel, two guests in a motel who are not makirs. One comes from the northern section of Eretz Yisrael, one comes from the southern section of Eretz Yisrael. One is going to call it Tosefta like that. So then the Mishnah says they're permitted. But if they're not, if they do know who they are, they know each other. Then we're choshesh that you're not allowed to eat fleshiks on the same table that someone else eating milchiks, because out of friendship, you may offer me some of what you're eating, and I may not pay attention that I'm eating fleshiks and milchiks at the same time. So that's Gzeira de Rabban. So the Gemara has a comment on this. Om Rav Chanan Barami, Om Shmolo Shana Vela Shem Akirim Zeze. This had to mention that the Shnei Achsanoim, the two guests in the motel, are allowed to eat flesh and milch on the same table. It's only if they Akirim. Om Akirim Zeze, you're not allowed. Tanya Nam Hiyachi, that's what it says, came out explicitly. And it accepted the quotes from the Mishnah and elaborates on it. It's only yasser if the man is detached. It's a tfichas achas salka daitach. What's the question, Rashi? Rashi, l'yasser with a tfichas achas bikrach echod. You're not allowed to eat fleshiks and milchiks together. So then the Gemara asks, Tvis achas al kadaita, Rashi says, ho belo shulchan shoch malav nami yosa. This is quoted in the context, this Reb Shimon Gamliel is in the context of not having fleshes and milchiks on the same table at the same time. So the Gemara asks, Tvis achas, if you have to get the meat and the cheese not together. So what has got to do with eating on the same shulchan, even if you're eating on the grass? It's not part of this. It's not related to this. That's the mamish bas b'chol of the rabbanon. That fleshiks and milchiks together at the same time. They only asid if you have two people eating at the same table. So what does that mean? So here Tosfos has two pshatim. This is important halacha lamaisa. This Tosfos is quoted in Yoredeya. So the Gemara answers, Ke'ein tvis achas, if there's no hecker between the two. However, v'imyesh dover ha-mafsik, if there's some kind of a hecker between the fellow who's eating, we do know each other. We're from the same neighborhood. We're friendly. But if there's a hecker in between, v'imyesh dover ha-mafsik, lahavi ke'ein tvis achas, how do they know that that's the mashmos of the word tvisa? As the word, the same expression appears in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Avnei Markulis. Markulis was an Avodah Zarah which they worshipped by throwing stones. So the Gemara says the stones that they throw towards the Markulis are also mitam, either mitam tekruvus or mitam Avodah Zarah. The stone itself is given as a tekruvus for the pile of stones that are there. That's the Avodah Zarah, the pile of stones. The one that you throw is a tekruvus to it. And then the Gemara says, and once you throw it and it lands, that it blends in to become part of the Avodah Zarah itself. That's also mitam tekruvus, and then it becomes a chelik, an integral part of the Avodah Zarah. And Avodah Zarah, we learned, there are four things that become asur, adaras banor, the actual Avodah Zarah, the thing that the people deify, and the noye Avodah Zarah, let's say you have a statue and you dress it up with earrings and a suit and whatever, a necklace, whatever you put on the getchke, and then you have mishamshi avodah zarah. You have a frying pan and you burn incense on it. Or you have a mizbech and you put karbonis on it. Or you have a knife and you shech karbonis. Or you have a menorah and you light candles for the avodah zarah. So all of the kalim that you use in the service of the avodah zarah, those are called mishamshi avodah zarah. And then you have the krubis, so the actual avodah zarah and the noy avodah zarah and the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah are Rasa Banoa based on their present and future status because it's still oimed to function as an Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, let's say a Nochri comes and he says, I don't believe this has powers of a deity, this statue. He said, this one is the deity, this one is a fake. Or he's a Meshuggah and he said, I am God. Really, Meshuggah, he said, I am God and this is not God. So that's called Bitl Avodah Zarah. So not only will the Avodah Zarah be started by being also a Nochri or a Jew, someone worships the Avodah Zarah. So if it's Avodah Zarah, it's only worshipped by a Nochri, and you get a Nochri to be Mevatlet, and this Avodah Zarah never belonged to a Jew. Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael doesn't have Bitl, and the Bitl has to be done by a Nochri. But let's say the Avodah Zarah was worshipped by a Nochri, and a Jew never acquired ownership of it after the Nochri worshipped it, and then he got a Nochri to be Mevatle, to declare that he doesn't believe that this is Avodah Zarah. So if you're Mevatle Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah becomes Mutah B'Hanoah Mikan L'Habo. Up until now, it was Asa B'Hanoah. The Avodah Zarah becomes Asa B'Hanoah. The Noye Avodah Zarah automatically also become Mutah B'Hanoah. And the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, all of the knife that you use to shech the Karbonos to the Avodah Zarah, and the incense container, and the menorah, everything comes with it. But the krubis is also because of the gas history. It's not also because it's homemade. It's still going to serve as a part of Avodah Zarah. The krubis is also because of its past history. So even if you mevatel Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that the krubis will remain also by now. So the Gemara says there, by Avne Markulis, if you have, they threw stones to the Avodah Zarah, but but they didn't land on this side of the fence. They landed on the other side of the fence. If there's a gova, if there's a fence in between. So it's not nearly our desert. So the Lashon of the Tanoim is the Lashon of the Gemara. Kame tvisachas, kame shtei tvis. If it's not betvisa achas, then it doesn't blend in to become part of their markulis. The stones that they threw don't blend in. So the same over here. Betvisa achas means it is no hefsig beinehim. If the two people who are friendly with each other, I'm eating fleshiks, you're eating milchiks, we're friendly with each other, but there's some kind of a dova mafsik to remind us, a hecker, to remind us that we're eating, one is eating flesh and one is eating milchiks, and then exera the rabbanon doesn't apply. So that's what Tosfos says, lefichach, based on this pshat, the first pshat in Tosfos, and nogim achshav, the meaning of the Balei HaTosfos was, kishzeich al basa, bzeich al gmina, al shulchan echad, minichem lechem, or kankan, they leave a loaf of bread in the middle that neither is eating from that bread. They leave a container, a kankan, that they're not going to use. You leave bread that one or both of them are going to nibble from the bread, then it's not there. If you leave kankan, a pitcher of water, and one or both of us are going to pour water from the pitcher, so then it's not there. Or shakilim, perhaps you leave them kind of clear that neither is going to use in the middle of the meal. So that will serve that. Or what another heck, if you had a place, you have a towel, you're eating and you have a towel, but you're sitting, and I have a placemat. So each one's eating a different mat and different table, so that'll serve the heck that we shouldn't give each other the food. Yeah, this is also in Hilchas, New York, the second chalk you're there. This is the first chalk you're there, so you can guess. Zion is the beginning of the Chaloch. Now I have a spot for the Rabbah. Kes is the two people who should be in the milk at the same table. And then it has to get a hair that's mutter. So that's how the first test is. This is, it says on the margin on the side of the Gemara on Nishan, on Ardach, Abshim, on the Lomer, that this appears in Shabbos Yud Gimel. Why is it in Shabbos Yud Gimel? Because in Shabbos, I think it's Yud Aleph from Yud Aleph. The Mishnah has a Zerah the Rabbanon. Yochel Azav in Mazova. Even if a man is a Zav and he's not healthy, and it's probably not a good idea for him to have Shabbos, still there's a Zerah the Rabbanon. He's not allowed to eat with, let's say he's married. He's not allowed with his wife if she's a Zav or an Eva. They're not allowed to eat together. The Gemara has a shakla. The Gemara says that that's a chiddush, even if he's a zav. If he's a tahar and she's a neither a zav for sure, it's a, but even if he's a zav, and it's probably unhealthy for him to have tashmish, and it's a highly unhealthy still. There's a zav there, Rabban, lechal azav and mazav. So let's say a couple is married and a wife is a neither. And they just got married. They don't have any children yet. So where does the wife eat? The husband and wife don't eat on the same table. So we usually follow this first shot in places that, and the Gemara there in Shabbos quotes our Mishnah and compares and contrasts it to the Mishnah over there. Just like Azar and Azar and Abad eat together, the two people who do know each other. Don't know, but if they do, if Mechad is Hashemi, then they have Zerah the Rabbanon. So there's a Zerah, they may give each other food and they'll be eating flesh at the same time. So the Gemara is how similar or dissimilar are the two cases. So according to the first shot in our text, is that whenever there's a hacker, so the same applies over there in the Mekuv Tzadikei and Hilchas Nida, that will make the have a place at or have a something in between them, a hacker that there shouldn't be too much, they're married, they shouldn't be too much be dates with each other because they used to touch much. Then there's another Shabbat Yishtha going to the second Shabbat Yishtha. The law between the Achaz Kalam and Shehem, but it's still Achaz Kigon, Achaz Kigon, Achaz Kigon, Achaz Kigon, Achaz Kigon, Achaz Kigon, יש נכון. That expression appears in the Mishnah. Sometimes it says Tfusas HaBayis for the Vav, sometimes it says Tfusas HaBayis for the Yud. So the other pshat is the Tfusas HaBayis means the money comes from the same source. It just means they're friendly with each other. It doesn't really mean that they're passed away and they're all being supported from the same source of money. The more backs up than that, it's not the Tfusas. If Makirim says if they know each other, Shine Dan Tos, well, the peer is there, according to this end, and this is, there's no mocker at all anymore. The Mikkel of Tabak, the Koshi Hin Lecho, also Necho, the Shul Hepsik should be in time, that is no heck. There is no heck to the heck. So if you say like that, then not only should you be Machmed by Bas and Bral, but you be Machmed by husband and wife. So the Bir Hagro on Shulchan Aruch, and the introduction to the Bir Hagro written by the children of Bar. I think they write in the beginning of Rechaim, they write that the father passed away and he left, I think, four notebooks. So I think three of the notebooks were just giving Mama Kermis the role of the Bir Hagadol was to complete the job of the Bir Hagadol. The Bir Hagadol is the great grandfather of the Vilna Gaon, and he gives it a Mama Kermis for every stiff in Shulchan Aruch. And Bir Hagadol is assuming that he's reading the Bir Hagadol and he's adding on. Whereas the Bir Be'er HaGoyle will only give you a Mar Mokim for five lines in the Shulchan Aruch, Bir HaGoyle will give you a Mar Mokim for every other phrase. Whenever there's a word added on, so he'll say, the Rambam added that on, Tosis added that on, the Rashba added that on, he'll tell you where every detail came from, not just the general Mar Mokim. Every so often, the Bir HaGoyle will write the first Mokker that he'll give you, he'll write Shum. What Shum? Shum means the same Mar Mokum that appeared in the Be'er HaGoyle. When you read the Be'er HaGoyle, you have to first read the Be'er HaGoyle with it. It was written to be Mashlim, the Be'er HaGoyle. So I think the children of the Gror on their Hagdama to the Be'er HaGoyle, that the father passed away, left three notebooks, just Mar Mokumis, for everything in the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't necessarily imply that he agrees. He's just giving you the Mar Mokumis. Then he left another notebook, a fourth notebook, that has Likutim. He has a piece on this, a piece on that. Not consistent, every sif in Shulchan Aruch, not to be mashlem the Be'er HaGoyle, a separate notebook to write his opinion. So that's where every so often there'll be a hachro in the Be'er HaGoyle, that'll be from the Likud. So in the better editions of the Shulchan Aruch, whenever it's in the fourth notebook, they'll write in the beginning Likud, and they'll write at the end Ad Kan. So you can tell what's a Likud from the fourth sefer, when is he expressing his own opinion? When is he just giving it Mar Mekaymus for the Dinim and the Shulchan Aruch? Just because the Gro gives Mar Mekaymus doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees. There are certain things that in the Sforim that they wrote after the Gro passed away, the Aliyas Elio and the Saras Elio, the different books. So they write there are cases where the Bir HaGoyle gives him the Mar Mekaymus, and we know he himself didn't accept what it said in Shulchan Aruch. That wasn't the purpose of the Bir HaGoyle. But in the Likutim, that's where he gives his own opinion. So here there's a long Likut in Simen Peches, where he sees.
Hasn't Rebbe mentioned that when the Gra says Ayin in a Maramakum, then he's arguing, but if he just gives the Maramakum, then he is agreeing?
Right. Sometimes I write Ay Magen Avram. Magen Avram disagrees. So he means he doesn't like what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I write Ay Zohar. Ayin Zohar means that the Zohar disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, right? When it's a mucker, where the Shulchan Aruch got it from, so he says Zohar. But when he's in disagree, when the Zohar is in disagreement, so the Vavam write Ayin Zohar. Ayin means that he's a disagree, right? Correct. That's in the Bir HaGoyle also, yeah. But usually the Hachros are in the Likutim. Once in a while, you have such a comment even in the Bir HaGoyle. So the Bir HaGoyle has a long likut, two long likutim in Simen Peches. And he's really not happy about this first pshat in the Tosfos, and it sounds like he doesn't like it. And he quotes all the Rishonim when they were married, and the wife didn't go to mikveh, so the wife would eat in a different room. their wife would eat somewhere else. They wouldn't sit next to each other at the table with a hefsek, with a different towel on the table. They would sit in a different place. And they quoted, the Balei HaTosfos quoted the pasuk, Eshtecha kegefen paria, when the wife is like Nida, kegefen paria, she's going to be, B'yakusei B'secha, is going to be sitting in a different room. She won't be sitting next to the husband. He quotes this from the Rishonim. He quotes a lot of Rishonim. Don't accept the first pshat in Tosfos. They hold from the second pshat that there's no marker at all for this heter of heker. Not by Bos B'cholov and by Nida's Mochomer, because it's an Isha Karis, an Isha of Karis. So that's the Gemara. That's, this Tosfos is important. It's usually assumed that if you have a heker, it's mutter. And the Be'er Agros seems to recommend in the Likut that one should follow the second sheet that Tosfos handed off. The Be'er is there. There's no mocker at all for any heker. So the Gemara says, so what did the Gemara finally say based on the Tosefta that Shmuel is right? The Shnei Achsonayim, Ma'em Akirim says that. That's what it sounds like in the Tosefta. Okay. What's the din? Yes, Abai, what's the din? Shnei Achim, the two brothers, they know each other very well, but they don't get along with each other. Makpidim zel zeh. They don't talk to each other, and they don't eat from each other's food. Mahu. Do you say, since the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, the whole gzera doesn't apply, I'm not. Gemara says, no. Rube de rube kemato al gzeres de rabbanon were instituted as a loyplug. If you're going to institute a gzera for a certain reason, you're going to say, whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole gzera doesn't apply. So the whole gzera is going to fall apart. Every time Dick and Harry will say, I know all the dinim, and the reason, I know the reason, and the reason doesn't apply to me, I'm knowledgeable, so I'm not going to make a mistake. So all the gzeres will fall apart. So that's what the Gemara says, the expression of the Gemara to explain a loyplug. The loyplug is a problem. You only have a right to make a gzera de rabbanon if you have a tzorach. If you don't have a tzorach, you have no right to make a gzera de rabbanon. All the power of the Chachamim to make gzera is that the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Heimar Mishlosh Advarim, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said three mottos, and one was Asei Siog LaTor. You should make a harchoke, and that's based on the pasuk Kishmartam is Mishmarti. And if it's a far-fetched chashash and milsa de l'shchicha, they have no right to make gzera de rabbanon. So what if the mamish, the two brothers don't talk to each other? So it doesn't make sense at all. There shouldn't be any gzera. But if you're not going to make a loyplug, so then all the gzeras will fall apart. So that's what the Gemara says. Yomer kol asreik and asur and asreik abaisis matorim. The din is that you're not allowed to make, for Pesach dik of food, you're not allowed to make sreik and hamitzu yorin. If you're going to make cookies that have a fancy design on them, so the one who's shaping the cookie is going to take him a longer time till he makes a fancy design. He's not using matzah mel. If he uses matzah mel, even if you have it soak in the water for an hour, it's not going to turn into chametz because it was already baked. Whenever something is already offer, or something is already mevushel, that's not bole de chimutz. So our matzah mel, we assume that the matzah mel was baked well. It's not going to be bole de chimutz. The Hasidim started during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon. The Hasidim started a practice that they wouldn't use gibrox, anything that was made from matzah mel, and they put the matzah mel in water. So the choshish, maybe the matzah was not baked well. Medina the Gemara says beferish that once something is already afui, once the matzah was baked already, so it's not bolei dechimutz. But the Hasidim are concerned, maybe in the days of the Tanai, maybe the matzahs were baked much better than they're baked today. And maybe we have some raw dough there. And true, it doesn't, it's not turning to chametz the way it is now. Maybe the heat of the oven was enough to evaporate all of the moisture that was in the dough, but maybe the heat of the oven was not sufficient to bake the matzah fully. And maybe some of the dough inside in the middle of the matzah is still raw. Maybe some of the dough is still raw. And now if you put it into water, you put it into soup, or you dip it into water or something, so now the raw dough will continue to soak in the water and turn into chametz. So So that was the chumra that the Hasidim introduced during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was very opposed to the Hasidus. So when they told him that the Hasidim don't eat gebraks, he wanted to advertise to the public that he doesn't hold from the chumra, so he put a knedlach in the window. So everybody in Vilna should know that he eats knedlach. Knedlach are made from matzah melt that they mix with water. And so according to the Hasidim, he can't eat it. The knedlach are gebraks. So the Vilna Gaon held that it's not a chashash. Some claim that today that the matzahs are baked in the factories, made by machine. So maybe today there's a bigger chashash. Others say there's less of a chashash. Okay, that's a question. There's a din. I still have a little matzah left over of San Shavuos. I used the leftover hen matzah, shmur matzah, and I found there was a matzah kfula. I found that when the matzah, circular hand matzah, when matzah was raw, before they put it in the oven, apparently part of it folded over on the other part, and then they baked it in the oven like that. So it says, and it's an avla that they sold it to me. Someone gave it to me. I didn't buy it. But it's an avla that they put it in the box. We're choshesh at that. That says in Shulchan Aruch, we're choshesh at that's chametz. If you have the dough folded over on itself, so we're afraid that the heat of the oven, there's heat on top, heat on the bottom. We're afraid that the heat didn't affect well enough the inside part where it's folded over. So the top will be baked, the bottom will be baked, but the part in the middle may still be raw and maybe it turned into chametz. So whatever you have,
Rebbe?
Yeah.
What about the lechem apanim? They were matzah and they were definitely folded at the corners.
I don't know. They were folded at the corners.
Meaning that they were, the Gemara says, no, that they were folded on either end towards the center.
I don't know. The Gemara has two versions. Lechem apanim means that it had a specific shape. So the two versions in the Gemara, what was the specific shape that it had? So one opinion is that it was like a canoe that came to a point at both ends, kisfina roketus. So like a canoe, that's the woven chalas that come to a point at both ends. And then the other opinion is that it had a specific shape. It was like a teva prutza, like a sectional challah. It was like a rectangular shape. It had a specific shape. I don't know. In the corner, it came to a point. Yeah, the way we make a sectional, well, the way we make a gefracht and a challah. Yeah, I don't know. You do fold over at different pieces. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. How come the lechem apanim had to be matzah and not allowed to make it chametz? Don't know. The two minhagim, so the Chazanish says on that Gemara in Menachos, Perek Shtei Alechem. The Gemara has all the dinim of lechem upon him also, in Perek Shtei Alechem. So the Gemara has the two opinions. What was the shape of the lechem upon him? So the Chazanish writes, he thinks that either would be acceptable. I was surprised about that. Either shape would be good. I think that's the minig that the chalas that you use for Shabbos are supposed to be zecher lelechem aponim. That's what it says in the Zohar. That's what the Zohar says, you should have 12, because they used to have 12 lechem aponims and two piles, sheish amarochas. Each pile had six, and six and six is 12. So on Shabbos you have 12 chalas. How do you have 12 chalas? So many Hasidim had a practice based on that Zohar. The Gemara says you say hamoitzi on two chalas lechem mishnah zechad lechem mishnah, that a double portion of man fell down on erev Shabbos and erev Yontif. The man didn't fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Beitza. The man didn't fall down on Yontif, even though mitamoch on nefesh he had to carry the food, but the man didn't fall down. So that's why you need lechem mishnah both on Shabbos and on Yontif zechad leman. So by many Hasidic Rebbes, they'll have lechem mishnah and they'll have another 10 chalas on the table. So 10 and 2 adds up to 12. And the Vilna Gaon thought that was a mistake. Whatever the Hasidim do, by definition, is a mistake. So the Vilna Gaon said, no, on Friday night you have two chalas and you cut both of them in half. That's what the Rashba learns in the Gemara in Maseches Brachas. The Gemara says you need lechem mishnah. So the Gemara says one of the Amoraim was Botza Akula Sherusa. He cut everything. What do you mean he cut everything? So Rashi translates, he had a big challah And he didn't just cut off a slice at the edge. It looks like that's all you're going to eat, a little slice. If you start from the edge, no, he took his gigantic challah and he cut from the middle, that it should look as if he's going to eat an awful lot of challah. Even if he's on a diet and everybody's on a diet, they're not going to eat so much challah. They're not going to eat the whole challah. But you, when you say hamotzi, you should cut in the middle to demonstrate as if you're going to eat a lot of challah. That's how Rashi learns. And the Vilna Gaon prefers the pshat of the Rashba, not Gemara and Brachas, but Sakula Sheirusa, that he cut the both challahs, that the challah that you don't cut is like it's still in the bakery shop. It's not mitztaref. You have to take lechem mishnah and cut both of them. You only cut one, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of lechem mishnah. So that's the Gro shita. That's what the Gro thinks, that we should follow that Rashba. So the Gro Lishitosis, he interpreted the Zohar like that. And a Friday night, you have two challahs, you cut them both in half. Shabbos morning, you have lechem mishnah, you cut both in half. And Shabbos Shudas, you have two challahs, cut them both in half. So you start out two, two, and two is six challahs, cut them all in half, you have 12 chatzoin. Not that you need 12 challahs on the table each time you say hamotzi. If you add up all the chatzoi challah, Friday night, you have lechem mishnah, cut them both in half, so you have four. And Shabbos morning, you have four, and Shabbos Shudas, you have four. So four times three is 12, so altogether everything adds up to lechem mishnah. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So that insistence on the shape of the challah, that it should either be like Sfina Raketis with two points on either ends, like the canoe, or it should be like a Teva Prutza, like a rectangular shape, like a suitcase, that's on Shabbos Dikar Chalas. On Yontif, they didn't switch the lechem upon him on Yontif. They only switched on Shabbos. That's why many have the minig that on Yontif, they make Ram Chalas to show that has nothing to do with the lechem upon him. The Chalas on Shabbos have to do with the lechem upon him. In fact, on Yontif, the Rambam writes that you have Shalashudas on Yontif also. And Shulchan Aruch says you don't have Shalashudas on Yontif. That's a question. Why? If the mon, the Gemara says on the first daf and beitza, the mon did not come down on Yontav either. Not only on Shabbos, on Yontav also didn't come down. So if the mon didn't come down, so that's why we have the practice Zechel Amon. We have Lecha Mishnah on Yontav, just like on Shabbos. If you have Lecha Mishnah, so we ought to have Shalashudas also on Yontav, because it says, Yichlu Hayom, Yishabbos Hayom, Lashem Hayom, Lam Sinsuhu Basoda. So Gemara has the comment that since the word Hayom appears three times in the Pasuk, so you get the impression that they ate three Sudas, one Suda Friday night, one Suda Shabbos morning, and one Suda Shabbos afternoon. So if you make a Zecher Lamon on Yontif that you have Lecha Mishnah, so shouldn't you have a Zecher Lamon to have Shabbos Sudas also? So Shulchan Aruch says no. And the Bi'ur HaGro quotes a Maramakam Yerushalmi in the end of Maaseh Sheni, that it's pretty mashmaf and the Yerushalmi pretty clear that you don't have Shalashudas on Yontif. You don't have Shalashudas on Yontif, so you're not going to cut two, two, and two. You're not going to have 12. You don't need 12, because the 12 is only Zechel Alechem upon him. That's only on Shabbos. On Yontif, they didn't switch the Lechem upon him every Yontif. So you don't need the Shalashudas on Yontif, yeah? So Nachamal, so if you have matzah mel that was already baked, so the Gemara says Himsachim that if something is ready ofui, it was already baked, it's not bole de chimatz. So you can have it soak in water all you want. You can throw your matzah into the soup, and you can have all the gebrochs you want. It's not gonna be able to turn into chametz. But if you have matzah flour, not matzah melt that was baked already, if you have flour that the matzah companies would use to bake matzahs from. If you have that flour and you mix it with water in order to make cookies, so you have to be fast, you have to be quick. If you're going to pause too long, it's going to turn into chametz. So if you want to make sreken hametzah yorin, you want to make fancy designs on the cookies, so they don't allow it, we wouldn't permit it because they may spend too much time making the fancy design, and it may turn into chametz. So the question was asked.
Did they bring the matzah
to you? No. So the question was asked. This fella Bises, he had a mold like today. If you want to make cookies with a special shape, with a heart shape, or with a baby shape, or something, so you buy a mold, and you put it. You have the dough flattened out on the table. and you take the mold and you make it. 1, 2, 3, it takes a second. So the Baisis Ben Zainan asked the Shaila with the Chacham, is he permitted to make fancy cookies? So they told him, no, it's a loy plug rabbanon. Even though when you will make your fancy cookies with the fancy shape, you are such a professional, you'll do it faster than the Balabas will do it without any design. But still, people, you have to make a loy plug, because otherwise people will say, what do you mean? Kol HaSreken Asurin, everybody else is not allowed to make fancy designs. It's Reka Baisis Matoran. Why is Baisis allowed to? So you always have to make a loy plug the Rabbanon. I have no right to make a gzerish alo letzorech. This is letzorech. This is also letzorech. If you're going to say the gzer only applies when the reason applies, whenever the reason doesn't apply, the gzer applies. The gzer doesn't apply, so no gzer is going to fall apart. So that's the Gemara's expression. Yamakal asreken asurin is the expression that the Gemara says to convey that idea of a loy plug rabbanon. Then the Gemara asked the kasha. There is a gzera de rabbanon that you're not allowed to wash laundry on Chol HaMoed. Why? You're not allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to wash laundry because people go to work and they work all day. Then it comes Chol HaMoed, they take off from work. So the people will all have, let's say now, people have long hair. Everybody needs a haircut. So they'll wait till Chol HaMoed when they have off anyway. Why should they lose a day's salary from the job? So the way to Chol HaMoed, so they enter into Kedesh Leikonis Liyantiv Kishehu Menuvol. They don't want people to enter into Yantiv with a long hair. They look awful, and they won't wash their clothing before. On the way to Chol HaMoed, they wash all the clothing on Chol HaMoed. It's Tzorche HaMoed. I want to look good on Yantiv on Chol HaMoed. So I'm allowed to, strictly speaking, Mi'ikir Adin, you're allowed to take care of Chol HaMoed. Even though it's a malacha to cut off the hair, it's a malacha of gozes, like shearing off the wool from the back of the animal. And the same thing, washing the clothing is a malacha malabin. You're not allowed to wash clothing on Shabbos Yom, but Tzorche HaMoed you're allowed to. So they made a gzera de rabbana kedei shelo yikonis leregel kishuhu menuvol, that you're not allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and unless there was an oinus involved, and they weren't able to. Let's say the guy was in the hospital, and they just let him out on Chol HaMoed in the hospital. He just came back from, he was on a long business trip. And just landed, the boat just landed years ago when you went up by boat. It took months and months to get anywhere. Today, you go by plane, you arrive anywhere in the world within a day. But in the days of the Tanoim, you would go by boat, it would take forever. So the fellow, Habom Medina Sayam, he came, he was Yotze Mibeis Asurim, he was released from the hospital, and everybody in the neighborhood knows what his situation is. That's what Moshe Feinstein has, and it's true. And Rav Soloveitchik said the same. Let's say everybody comes to shul the first night of Yontif clean shaven, and then the first 2 days of Yontif Pesach, he didn't shave. On Yontif, you don't shave. And then it comes Chol HaMoed, so he looks awful. He needs a shave, so he doesn't look good. And everybody in the community knows that he couldn't have shaved the hair on Erev Yontif. He couldn't have shaved the hair that didn't grow yet. So that's what we call an oinus de muchach, an oinus that he wasn't able to do anything to prevent it. And it's muchach, all the people in the neighborhood are familiar with his oinus. They all know about it. If you have an oinus that's not so muchach, let's say one of his children was sick on Erev Yontif. Not everybody knew. So normally he takes a haircut on Erev Yontif. And because one of his children was sick, so he had to run to the hospital and to the doctor and back and forth and to the drugstore. And the whole day he was busy running around. They didn't have a chance to take a haircut. And Erev Yontif, so that's an oinus de loy muchach. His neighbors know about it. His neighbors know that they had a babysit for his children. And he was running around with the sick child. But the rest of the people in the neighborhood, the rest of the people in the shul may not know about it. But whenever it's an oinus de muchach, then the Gemara says, you're allowed to take a haircut. So that's what Moshe says, that Mi'ikir Adin, if a person shaved on Erev Yontif, and then it comes Chol HaMoed and needs a shave, that's an oinus de muchach. Everybody in the neighborhood knows what the nature of the oinus was. The oinus is you can't shave the hair that didn't grow yet. So everybody understands that. So Moshe says, nonetheless, he recommends, and it's true, he recommends that people should be machmer not to shave on Chol HaMoed, even though Mi'ikir Adin should really be mutter. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like the last part. He said, what do you mean? Nevertheless, No, if they covered our regal, you shouldn't be manuval not on the first day's yantiv, not on Chol HaMoed, not on the last day's yantiv. You should look spiffy. You should look nice the whole yantiv. So he thought, Rav Soloveitchik thought, it's a mitzvah to shave on Chol HaMoed. Whenever it's mutter, all those people who the Mishnah says in Eilu Megalchin, the following people are permitted to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. And it says, whenever it's Einus the Muchach, it's Mutter. So he thought not only is Mutter, that's the correct thing to do. They should take a haircut, they should wash their clothing. They shouldn't be Menuvel on Chol HaMoed either. So the Gemara says, what if they Ein Ela Chaluk Echad, the last line on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, what if he only has one shirt? So the Gemara says he's permitted to wash the one Mutter L'chapsa B'Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to. The question is, but they should have made a loy plug rabbana. So the Gemara answers, Hasam hama ma barvashi is zora machia chalov. How did they wash their clothing in the days of the Gemara? They used to wash by the river. So the guy only has one shirt, so he's going to be bare to his chest. He's not going to be wearing a shirt. He'll be wearing an undershirt with his arba kamfis. He won't be wearing the shirt. He's going to be washing the shirt in the river. So since there's a hecker, if Ein Lo Halacha Lo Kecher only has his one garment, and he's going to wash the shirt in public, so there's no concern of Yom Kol Asrei Kanasu and Asrei Kibayisim Torah. It'll be obvious that he has a hetter that Ein Lo Halacha Lo Kecher and he only has one shirt. That is the Gemara. Okay. Loy plug rabbanon is a very important klal. If you're not going to make a loy plug, so all the dinim of the rabbanon will fall apart. We spoke about before Shavuos. He spoke. The Rambam posed the question: why do you have to have 2 days yontif by Shavuos? Shavuos is the 50th day after first day Pesach. It counts Sfiras Hayomim 49 days, and the day after the 49th day is the 50th day. That's Shavuos. So we understand that there were places where they didn't know when Pesach fell out. So they had to observe Yontem Sheni Shel Golias. Those places that were close enough to the Beis HaVa'ad, where the Bezdin was in charge of declaring, Bezdin had to determine every month when should Rosh Chodesh be. Should the previous month be 29 days and Rosh Chodesh be on the 30th day? Or the month that's ending should have 30 days and Rosh Chodesh be on the 31st day? So the Bezdin had to decide that. So those people who live close to the Beis HaVa'ad, they live in the same city or close enough, so they would hear about it by the time Pesach came. By the time Rosh Hashanah, most of the people would not know. So almost everybody had observed 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Maybe in Yerushalayim, those who lived right near the Beis HaVa'ad, when the Beis HaVa'ad was in Yerushalayim, wasn't always. The Gemara says at the end of the Baisheni period, Esther Golias Golsa Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin used to meet in the Lishkas HaGozes in the Beis HaMikdash, and then they went at the Golas 10 different times, 10 different locations. So first they went to Chanus. They went to a storefront in Yerushalayim. And then they went further away. And then the last couple of times they were in the Galil. They were in Usho, in Shvaram, at Tzipori. So, and the Gemara has a tradition that wherever the Bez Nagorol met the last time, there in the Galil, that's where they will reconvene. Like every day, the Bez Nagorol would meet till mid-afternoon, and then they would go home, eat from go home, then they would reconvene the next morning. So the Bez Nagorol has not convened in many centuries since before the Churban HaBayis. Before the Churban HaBayis, they left the Sanhedrin. They left the Lishkas HaGozes, but they still met. So when the Bez Nagorol will reconvene any day now, so they will reconvene in the same location where they met last time. It's not going to be the same people. Usually in the days of the Bez Nagorol, the same people who are members of Bez Nagorol went home and they came back. They reconvened the next morning after Shacharis, after breakfast. They would meet the whole day and talk and learning. And Lossid Lover, the Bez Nagorol will reconvene somewhere in the north. That's why in the days of the Arizal, the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, why didn't they all live in Yerushalayim? The Mishnah in the end, the Ksuba says it's preferable, Hakamalim, the Yerushalayim. Just like there's a mitzvah, we prefer that everyone should live in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to living in Chutz Lawrence. So the best place to live in Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim because it's the capital of Eretz Yisrael. It's closer to the Beis HaMikdash. So everyone should live in Yerushalayim. So why is it in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, most of the Rabbonim, some of them lived in Yerushalayim, most of them lived in Tzfat. Why do they live in Tzfat? So there's a reason I'll be history, and there's a reason I'll be Kabbalah. The historical reason is that the water in Yerushalayim was polluted, and it wasn't healthy to drink the water. And the water in Tzfat was healthier. But then there was a reason in Kabbalah that they were hoping for the coming of Mashiach any day. They had suffered so much from the Spanish expulsion and from the other expulsion that they had. So they thought that maybe Mashiach is going to come. And they wanted to be there. And the Gemara says in Erevin, Eliyahu HaNavi will appear to the Bez Nagadol in the location where they last met in the Galil somewhere. So that's why they thought Eliyahu HaNavi, where they wanted to be there to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu HaNavi. In Yiddish, there's an expression, Yishibzecha to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. But in the Gemara, you don't have that. The Gemara doesn't talk about a Kabbalah Sponim, a reception in honor of Mashiach. The Gemara talks about to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come the day before Mashiach. That's the pasuk at the end of Malach. Hinenech Shelech Lechem Eseli HaNavi. The Navi Eliyahu will come the day before the Melech HaMashiach, and he will announce to the Sanhedrin, wherever they will be convening, who he will announce tomorrow the Melech HaMashiach will appear. He's going to identify who the Melech HaMashiach is. So that's the Kabbalah reason. It's really based on the Gemara. The Kabbalah reason, they thought that maybe Mashiach is on his way, and they wanted to be there in the Gola, in the Galil, to receive Eliyahu Navi, who's going to come and tell us that Mashiach is coming tomorrow. Yeah. So the Rambam poses this question. When it came Pesach, there were a lot of communities that were far away from the Beis Avad. They didn't know when the Beis Avad established Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So they weren't sure which day was Pesach. So it's fake of the Yom, they had observed 2 days. And when it came Rosh Hashanah, for sure they didn't know. When it came Yom Kippur, Sukkot, they didn't know. How come they didn't observe 2 days Yom Kippur? So the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash and Parsha Samor explains that they have the right to go Mikir Adin, have a right to go Basar Roiv. Ruba de Ruba Elul is only 29 days. And Ruba de Ruba Adar HaSamach LeNissen is only 29 days. There are two Adars sometimes. The Adar HaSamach LeNissen, Ruba de Ruba only has 29 days. So as long as they knew when Rosh Chodesh Elul was, so then Mikra Adin, they have a right to assume go Basar Roiv. Once in 500 years, it's going to happen that Elul is going to have Me'uber. Elul is rarely going to have 30 days. And Adar Samach LeNissen rarely is going to have 30 days. So Mikra didn't have a right to follow the Rav. So they were Machmir. So even when they had what we call a real Sveik of the Yayma, it was only either a Chumar Midirabban or a Minik. Rashi in the beginning of Beitza learns that that's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether the observance of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus bizman shekitshal pi hariyah, till the days of Abai v'Rava lived in Bavel, they didn't have any smicha. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael were still making kiddush achadush al pi hariyah. And it was during their lifetime, during the lifetime of Abai v'Rava, that their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael, that was Hillel Hasheni, who is a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so he was the one who instituted the Luach. So then, this Manchi Kitchal Piyariya, before the days of Abai Barova, the observance of Yom Tov Sheni wasn't the real Sveika Deraisa L'chumer, the Netziv explains, because he really had the right to follow the Roiv. That's why Yom Kippur, they never fasted 2 days Yom Kippur. Or even if it's a Sakana, that's why you don't fast 2 days. Why don't they abstain from Malacha the second day? No one's going to die if you abstain from Malacha. The answer is because they're afraid someone's going to fast. The fast 2 days can be a Safek Sakana. So they never instituted that. So even as much as Kitchal Piyariya, the observance of Yom Tov Sheni, according to Rashi, was a machloikis in the Gemara, whether it's a din de rabbanan or just a mini. After they instituted the Nuach Kavua, so we know 1,000 years in advance what the calendar is going to be, when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, when Rosh Chodesh Elul, we know everything in advance. We have a printed calendar. So why do we still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni? So that's where the Gemara in the beginning of Beitz said they sent a letter Shalchem Itam. They sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael. Hizor b'minig avaseichem b'yadeichem. They should still continue the practice of their ancestors from the earlier generations, that they should observe 2 days Yom Tov. So that's a big machlokes Rishonim, whether Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus after the Takanas HaLuach, after the Luach Kavua, the lashon of the letter, the expression they wrote was "Hizor b'minig avasechem yadech." So the Balei HaTosfos assumed that observance of Yom Tov Sheni is only a minig. That's in Sukkah Daf Mem Dalet, a long Tosfos, a few Masechtos. And the Ra'an on the Rif disagrees, says, no, that was the text of the letter. Minig means continue to observe the practice of your ancestors. Minig does mean a custom. It means the practice of your ancestors. Your ancestors always observed 2 days Yom Tov. We're making a takona. You should still continue to observe 2 days Yom Tov. So that's a big machlekes, whether the observance of Yom Tov Sheni today is only a minig or it's a real din derabbanan, a real sfeika d'yomer isn't. And the Netziv says it wasn't even bizman shekid shel pi'ari, it was never a real sfeika d'yomer. But the Gemara says if you live in a city that's close enough to the Beis Havad that they always had the shluchim higiu, the shluchi nisan higiu, the shluchi tishrei higiu. So they only had 1 day Pesach, they only had 1 day Sukkot. So the Shaila is, the Rambam poses the question, why does anybody observe 2 days Shavuos? By the time it came Shavuos, there were people that still didn't know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was, what day of the week was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Whatever day of the week Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, Pesach is going to be the same day of the week. Pesach is the 15th of the month. And whenever you know, if you know when Pesach is, so you know when Sfiras Haim is going to be, so you know automatically when Shavuos is going to be. Shavuos doesn't depend on the day of the month. Shavuos is the 50th day after counting the Sfiras Omer. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Pamim Hei, Pamim Vav, Pamim Zayin. Sometimes Shavuos would be the 5th of Sivan, sometimes the 6th. By us, it's always the 6th, and sometimes the 7th, depending on how many days Nisan year. If they both have 30 days, then Shavuos is going to be the 5th of Sivan. If they both have 29 days, then Shavuos is going to be on the 7th. And if Nisan is 30 days and Iyar is 29 days, then it's going to be on the 6th. In our calendar, it's always like that. It's always the 6th because Nisan always has 30 days and Iyar always has 29 days. So Shavuos is always the 6th. So that's the Rambam's kasha. By the time it came Shavuos, they didn't have to know when Desden declared Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's irrelevant. All they have to know is when Desden declared Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It doesn't matter when Rosh Chodesh Iyar is either. As long as you know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is. So the Rambam says that the observance of 2 days Shavuos is a loyplug because of Pesach and Sukkot. So that's the question that we discussed. If you only observe something as a loyplug, there really isn't a reason for this din. It's only a loyplug because of the other two Yom Tovim. So does that make it a stronger din the Rabban, a weaker din the Rabban? So before Shavuos, we discussed it. The Chelkas Yoyev was a Chassidish Rebbe who died almost 100 years ago. He was a bit of a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. He used to correspond with the Avnei Nezer. It was a big goyim. So also a Chassidish Tzadik in Poland. So he was of the opinion that whenever you have a din de Rabbana, that's only a light plug, so the Makom Mitzvah you can be Mekel. So that you would be, he would probably say you're allowed to do Malacha on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias of Shavuos, if there's a Makom Mitzvah. That's what we spoke about, the famous, the cause celebre, that a woman a man was going to die on the second day Shavuos, and his wife would need Chalitza, and the brother lived so far away, it wasn't Shavuos, they didn't have telephones, and they couldn't communicate, and it would take her years and years if she'll ever be able to get Chalitza. So she would be an Aguna for the rest of her life. So one of the great Rabbonim of the generation allowed the Sefer to write the get on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Shavuos, the Makam Nigun were makel to give a get. To give a get is only Gzeira Rabbonim. Mishum Mekech HaMemkar. This is quotes at the Sefta. We don't have that Sefta. This is quotes at the Sefta. So to give a get, there's room to be makel the Makam Nigun. That's how Gemara and Gittin. But what about to write the get? That's to write a get is a Malacha Daraisa. So this Rabbi Landau, he was a rabbi in Brod. He was a grandson of the Nadi Yehuda. His name was Rabbi Cheska Landau. So Rabbi Landau, who wrote the Sefer Yad HaMelech, it's a Sefer on the Rambam, a classic. Not like the Shara Melech, but also a classic, Yad HaMelech, an important Sefer. He felt that it's mutter to write the get on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Shavuos. But Malkan Nigun, it's mutter. Man and all the other Rabbonim disagreed with him. It's not so clear that he was wrong. Anyway, the case shouldn't come up. We shouldn't have any agunas. Okay, So this, that's what the Gemara says. You have a loy plug rabbanim. If you have two brothers who know each other very well, but they don't talk to each other, they don't get along with each other, one is eating flesh and one is eating milchik, so you can't say, since they don't get along with each other, so the gzera de rabbanim doesn't apply. No. You have to say it's a loy plug. But there's a limit on how far you go with the loy plug. So we say, if you have shnei achsenoim, they don't even know each other. So that's not included in the loy plug. The loy plug only is if they know each other. You don't have to say if they know each other and they're friendly with each other. If they're friendly with each other, then you have to discuss how friendly. So the brothers are friendly. They're not friendly. They don't talk to each other. They do talk to each other. That's too complicated. So they said whenever they know each other, then you have a loy plug, you have a gzera derban. Whenever they don't even know each other, so that's not included in the loy plug. That's too much of a loy plug. Okay, so that's an important gemara. Loy plug is a very important principle. and the Tosfos, Ke'ein Tfisa Achas, the Tosfos has the two shitas about whether you have a heker, whether Ishta Nida, whether she can sit next to her husband with a heker. If they have children sitting at the table and children sit in between the mother and the father, so then they're not eating together. You have hapsaka people in between. But when they first get married, they don't have any children. So then the husband and the wife are sitting next to each other. So everybody follows what it says in Shulchan Aruch Mekel with the Prisas Mapa. If you have a heker and they're only going there and Simon Peches and Simon Kuf Tzadikei, he refers you look in the Bir Agro and the Likud and Simon Peches. And in Simon Peches, he quotes that a lot of Rishonim, he thinks that many Rishonim are unhappy with the first Shita. And Tosfos, they like the second Shita, that there's no mocker at all to the heter of a heker, if you have a heker. Okay, Kuf Chesamanal, a very famous, world famous Sugi of Tipas Cholov, known as Sugi of Tipas Cholov. So you have a pot of flesh that's cooking, and a drop of milk falls on top of a piece. So where you have the flesh is cooking in liquid soup. You have soup, and so if a drop of milk falls into the pot of soup, so the drop of milk is going to be mispashed in the whole thing. You're probably going to have shishim in the pot and all the contents in the pot against the drop of milk. We're talking tipas chalv falls on top of a chaticha. There's a one chaticha flesh on top. So the tipas chalav only will spread, and that chaticha will not spread in the rest of the meat in the pot. What's the case talking about? So this is a big fuss in Yerideya. I don't know. I never heard this shayla come up in real life. But in Yerideya, there's a whole fuss about this. So they present the machlek as Rashi in the Ri. So the Ri is of the opinion that the whole chaticha, the top line in Tosfos, the top Tosfos, Kishachaticha kulu chutz l'roit avairi. You have the meat that's piled up in the pot and it has liquid. And then there's a piece of meat that's sitting on top of the top piece of meat. And the whole chaticha, kol chaticha kulu is chutz l'roit avairi. Because if you have a chaticha that's miktsasa b'roit avairi, miktsasa chutz l'roit avairi, let's say the chaticha is an inch and a half thick, a piece of meat. And the bottom quarter of an inch is submerged in the fluid, in the liquid, in the pot. And the top inch and a half of the chaticha basar is above the level of the liquid. So the Ri is of the opinion that because the bottom of the chaticha is submerged in the liquid, the tipas chalav that will fall on top of that chaticha will be mispashetes in the whole pot. And you can be mitzaref everything in the pot to constitute the shishim. And it won't be nice in tam, but will not succeed in giving tam in the top chaticha. And the Shulchan Aruch, they assume that Rashi disagrees with this. They present it as a machlekes Rashi in the Ri, that the Rashi's opinion is, we're talking about a chaticha, that's miktsos of techer right, the miktsos of chutz l'raitev, and the tipa chalab that falls on top of that chaticha will only be mispashed a little bit into that chaticha. It won't go all the way down to the bottom and then be mispashed to the rest of the kdera. Okay. That's a side issue. It's not that significant. I mean, it's nagei halacha lemaisa, whether the whole pot will be mitzaref to be mevatel b'shishim or not, but that doesn't come up. The shada doesn't come up. So that's machlekes Rashi and the Ri. Okay. Tipas chal shenaf al chaticha. Miyesh ba b'nei sentam v'asa chaticha asur. if the tipas chalav succeed in giving a flavor of milk and not chaticha, then that chaticha will be basa b'chalav. But let's say the tipas chalav falls into the liquid in the pot, and the liquid altogether, you have way more than shishim against the tipas chalav, so then nothing becomes basa b'chalav. So that's a machlekes, Abai v'Rav in the Gemara, famous machlekes. Abai says, Tosis quotes over here, there are other sugis in Nazir Daf, the second Tosis on the Daf, Nazir Daf Lamed Zayin, and Himsachim on Daf Mem Dalet. So there's a discussion there of the din of Ta'am Kiyikir. If you have, let's say, a non-kosher cookie or non-kosher candy, and it has an ingredient that's not kosher. What's so non-kosher, but has an ingredient that's non-kosher? That ingredient is less than 50% of the whole thing. So based on the Pasuk Acharav Lahatas, he really should have said that the non-kosher ingredient is Baltal Beroiv, and you're allowed to eat the cookie. What's wrong? Why do you say that it's treif? The answer is, even though it should have been Baltal Beroiv, based on the Pasuk Acharav Lahatas, but nonetheless, we say tam ki ikir. Since the trefa ingredient succeeds in giving an asinas tam, it changes the flavor of the whole food that you're eating, changes it slightly. So the fact that it affects a change in the flavor, tam is ki ikir. It's considered as if you're eating a piece of chaza, as if you're eating a piece of chaza. So that's a big machlokes satanayim and a machlokes harishanim, whether the din of tam ki ikir, is that a din derais or is that a din derabon? How do we pass on Allah l'maisa also machlokes harishonim? So the Rashi gives you his opinion on the next daf on Kuf Tes Homer Aleph. There's a gigantic Rashi, the second half of the Rashi. Rashi di b'maschah b'sulo midi. So then Rashi starts telling you what his opinion is. So Rashi's opinion is that tam kikar is only the rabbanon. Rashi has over here. Tam Kikar is only Rabbanan, and Mimimina is the Mashu. And then it says on the left-hand margin on Kuf Tesam and Aleph, next to that Rashi has in brackets, Hasogas HaTesiv Salzeh Timtza Liyal Daf Tzadik. Where is it? Daf Tzadik Zayinim and Aleph. Tesiv disagrees with both points that Rashi says. Tesiv holds that Tam Kikar is the Raisa, and Tesiv holds that Mimimina is not the Mashu. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Machlegs Rabbi Yehuda and Achachamim. So Rashi thinks that since Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to see the Gemara in another couple of minutes on Kuf Chesam and Aleph. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Mimimina is B'mashu. So that Mimimina Mashu, that's Lach B'lach. It is Lach B'lach. So Mimimina is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is B'mashu. So Rashi says, since Rav and Shmuel both agree with Rabbi Yehuda, Mimimina Mashu, so we should paskin like that. And the Balei HaTosfos and the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't accept either point of Rashi. We hold that Tam Kikar is the Raisa, not like Rashi knocks it down to be the Rabbanan. We hold that the Mimimina is not the Mashu. Mimimina Minat Torah, we assume Legamre, not like Rashi. We assume that Mimimina is Batal Bereif. If it's less than 50%, it's already Muti. You don't even need Shishim. The only need for Shishim is only Exer Mimimina Otu Mimishena Mina. By Mimishena Mina, we hold Tam Kikar is the Raisa. So you need Shishim. Usually when you have Shishim in a Heter against the Yisr, Yisr will no longer succeed in giving an Asinas Tam. So since Tam Kikar is their Isis, and they made Exera the Rabbanon, that even a Mim Amina, you need Shishim Exera Atam Mim Mishen Amina. But if you would have held like Rashi, that Mim Mishen Amina, the whole need for Shishim is only Midi Rabbanon. So it wouldn't make any sense to make Exera Mim Amina to Exera L'Exera. They made Exera Mim Amina, need Shishim Atam Mim Mishen Amina, need Shishim. Mim Mishen Amina, the Shishim is only Midi Rabbanon. So that's what led Tosis to believe that Shishim is the Raisa by Mim Mishen Amina. What's the big difference, Allah and the Maisa, whether Tam Kikar is the Raisa of the Rabbanon? So the in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Agos HaShri on the side of the Rosh. They have the Agos HaShri, usually from the Urz HaRuah, sometimes quote from other Rishanim. But this one is from the Urz HaRuah. The Urz HaRuah is from the last, from the later generations of the Balei HaTosfos. The Urz HaRuah was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rosh, who was the Rebbe of the Rebbe Yeruchim. The end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos. So the Hagos Oshri on the side of the Rosh quotes, what if you have an Iser, a little trefing, flavoring fell into a pot of kosher food? And you know for sure that it's less than 50% of the mixture, but you don't know if it's you don't know if you have shishim. You have no way of telling. It tastes like that. Maybe it tastes like that. Maybe it tastes like that anyway. You don't know what it's supposed to taste like. You're not sure if it's nice and tam or not. So if you have vadeira, even you don't know if you have shishim. So if shishim is needed, menator, if you have tam kika deraisa, you need shishim deraisa. So you say sofik deraisa luchomet. That's how we pass kena yaradeya. But if you all like Rashi, the tam kika was only the rabbanon. So the whole night for shishim is only with the rabbanon. Menator, you say chad betray his bottle. Then if you have vada, you have raif. The trefis that fell in is way less than 50% of the whole pot. Way less than 50%. So it's certainly going to be bottled by raif. And the whole need for shishim is only by the rabbanon. So then according to Rashi, we would say suffix shishim is lakula. So we pass kind of yaradeya that the shishim is their isa because tamkika is their isa. So suffix shishim is luchumra. Suffix der isa luchumra, yeah. Where did this machlekes come from? Rashi and Tosfos, where the tamkika is isa rabbanon, comes from this gemara kuf chesam et aleph. Abai claims that tamkika must be der isa. So the second Tosfos on Kuf Chesam and Aleph points out that there are other sources for this din. How do you know the Tan Kika Deraisa? So one Tana says you learn that out from Mishras. It says the Nozer is not allowed to eat a piece of challah that was dipped into wine that has a wine absorbed in it. If you have a piece of challah and I just dipped in it the wine and I can squeeze it out, I can squeeze the droplet of wine out, so the wine is bien. It's not a whole reviews, but Chatzishir is Asmanatar. But let's say I dip the challah into wine and I can't squeeze it out. It got the little bit of wine got absorbed in the challah. It has the taste of wine. It's tam kika, but it's not bien. There's no way to squeeze out the flavoring of the wine. So that's not bien. That's tam kika. So the pasuk says, Chamishras anovim lo yechal. The nozer is not allowed to eat. Shora pita bayayin. If someone soaked a piece of pas, a piece of bread in wine, and the piece of bread absorbed the little wine. So the nozer is not allowed to eat the piece of bread that has the wine soaked in it. So one Tana says that is the mocker of the din deraisa of tam kika. The other Tana says, no, the mocker is the pasik of Giuli Klei Midyon, in Parshas Matos. It says that the Bnei Yisrael won the war against the Midyonim, and then when they were victorious, so they took all the treif of pots and pans of the Midian army as well. So the Torah says they had a kasha, the pots and the pins. What after kasha, the pots and the pins? Whatever food they're going to, whatever kosher food they're going to cook in the pot, even if it's going to get a tray for blia coming out from the Dofne Hakdera, it's the blia, the tray for blia is going to come into the kosher food that they're going to cook in the tray for pot. It's going to be way less than 50% of the whole mixture. So let it be bottled for rape. So the answer is no, because tam kika deraisa, it'll make a treif. Poshu pshat is because tam kika deraisa. Then the Rambam had a possible, the Vilna Gaon claims that the Rambam has a third marker, that the pasuk says, kol machmetzes lo sachelu. So the Rambam says, machmetzes means if you have a taruvis of chometz. If you eat taruvis chometz, so the Rambam counts it as two lav. There's one lav not to eat chometz, one lav not to eat Taruvas Chamed. So the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs asks, why do you count another lav? If it's nice and tam, so tam kikar, so it's an isa deraisa, tam kikar deraisa, and there should be kares. Why did the Rambam say that there's an isa deraisa, there's no kares? And if it's not nice and tam, so there shouldn't be any isa either. Where did he come off to say there's an isa on Taruvas Chamed, but there's no kares? If there's an isa, it should be kares. And if there's no kares, there should be no isa. What's going on? So the Bir Agra understood, and the Bir Agra in Hilchas Pesach, he understood that the Rambam holds a third marker. This is it's not found in the Gemara, another source, another Taniyadic source. That Pasuk Machmetz is the marker for the din of Tam Kika Deraisa. And in Kol HaTorah Kula, when you have Tam Kika, Rav Chelu V'dam usually have Kares, and Tam Kika, we will not say a Hadri L'Issa Rikama. There won't be any Kares, it'll just be an Issa, and there won't be any Kares. Not like the Ramban asked. The Ramban asked, if it's tam kika, so there should be kares. And if there's no kares, means that it's not nice and tam, then it should be muta, let it be bottle. So the Rambam holds, no, that tam kika is a new iser, where there's no kares, and it is nice and tam. You don't say a hadru iser, you don't say that tam kika prevents the iser from being bottle. It is bottle and there's no kares, and it's a new iser. It's a new shame iser. So there are different kares for the, if you hold tam kika, there are iser. So in the Gemara, there are two Makaris, either from Mishras or the Makar of Giuli Klemidion, or the Rambam had from a different Makar, Machmetzes. And Abai claims the Makar is over here, this Pasuk from the institution of Basar B'Cholov. How do you ever have an Issa Basar B'Cholov? You have exactly 50-50 Basar and Cholov. You're not going to have exactly. You're going to cook a piece of meat with a little bit of milk in it. So the milk is going to be way less than 50%. Or you're going to cook milk, and the milk has a little bit of flavor of schmaltz in it. A little fleshige schmaltz fell into the milk. It's going to be less than 50%. Nonetheless, that's the din deraisa of basar b'cholov. What are you going to imagine? Basar b'cholov is only asur min ha-Torah if it's exactly 50-50. The odds are a billion to one that it's not going to be 50-50. It's going to be roiv cholov. It's going to be roiv of basar. So the answer is, from the parsha, from the whole institution of basar b'cholov, we see that there's a din of tam kikar. That's our bias proof. Time of Elohim HaMoshe, tam kikar must be deraisa. And you see it from the institution of basar b'cholov. These are the daitach de rabbanon. If you're going to think that tam kikar is only the rabbanon, like the other tanaim think. So what do you do with basar b'cholov? It's an exception to the rule. It's a chiddush. So he says, a chiddush. So if it's an exception to the rule, then let it be also, even if the milk doesn't succeed in giving tam into the basar. So from the fact that the Mishnah says, v'yesh bo menais en tam bo isa chaticha asura. If it's not nais en tam, it's not. You see, it's the from here you learn out the din and call it tarkula. The tam kik is their rice. And Robert disagrees and he says, no. The only one could argue the point and say tam kik is love their rice. And over here, the whole thing is a chiddush. It's a chiddush that they say tam kik to create basar b'cholov. Sure. If it's a chiddush, let it be also even if it's a nice and tam. So he says, no. Derech bishul asetor. It's only awesome in a Torah if he did bishul. Darpishal means it succeeded in giving an asinus tam. So Rashi understood. Rashi says, whenever there's a machlokes Abai v'Rava, we always pass like Rava, except for the six cases of Yalkigam. So this is not one of the Yalkigam, so we pass like Rava. What did Rava say? Rava disagreed with Abai. Abai says, tam kika deraisa. Rava holds tam kika lav deraisa. The Tosis says, that's not true. Rava didn't say tam kika lav deraisa. There's a dima maschal omer Rava. Dichuya bi almahu. We can't prove from this parsha. You have the other psukim. You have the psukim of Mishra, so you have the psukim of Hagolas Kleinidion. You learn it from other, the Makar of Machmetzes, according to the Ram. You have other Makaris. Abai and Rabbah just arguing, can you prove from the parsha of Basar B'cholov the Tam Kika Deraisa? So that's Tosis Hasog against Rashi. The little Tosis Omar Rabbah is in disagreement with Rashi. And the Rashi is on the next daf, the Rashi on Kuf Tesam and Aleph, that long Rashi, where he says, Machlokes Abai v'Rava, so we pass like Rava. This says Rava never said it. Yeah, what is the term Chiddush? Chiddush is a technical term. Chiddush is, we usually think Chiddush means something that it would never have occurred to me. It would never occur to me. But that's not in the, when you're talking about Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam, that's not the meaning of the term Chiddush. Chiddush means an exception to the rule. Davar ha-seiser es ha-klal. Where do you have a midrash ha-turn the dresh has been? So you have davar shei b'chlal, yotza lidim davar ha-chodosh. Yotza yochel ha-chsir ul-chlal, ayah she-achsirin ha-kos ul-chlal ha-befeish. What's a davar ha-chodosh? So that klal hardly appears in the Gemara, but one of the few places that it may be the only place is in Yevam Nisan Dav Zayin. So Tosis points out there, yotza lidim davar ha-chodosh means davar ha-seiser es ha-klal. It's an exception to the rule. The context there in the Gemara is you have asham mitzayra. You have a korban asham, and what do you normally do when you have a korban? You have the dam. You shech the korban, and the dam comes out from the neck. You have a kohen hold the klisharis in his right hand, and he does kabbalah sadam. What does he do with the dam? So the dam usually is zerek on the mizbeach. So here, by dam ha-asham, asham mitzayra, in addition to doing zrik al-gav ha-mizbeach, you do matan b'hainas. The Mitzora, who just became Tohar, has to stick his thumb into the Azara, and the Kohen has to do Matam Behonis, Arbon Yoda Haimonis, Arbon Ragla Haimonis, and on Tunuch Ozna Haimonis, on the hard part, not on the soft part, on the bottom, on the hard part. So that's a Yotzen Lida B'Dabba HaChorosh, that's a Chiddush, Dabba HaSesas HaKlal. That's an exception to the rule. The rule usually is a Dama of Karbonis is Nizrak on the Mizbeach. And here, in addition to being nizik on the mizrach, he put matan behoinus on the mitzora's body. That's called a daba achonish. So the shaila is here. That's one place where chidush, the term chidush, is relevant in the context of midrash atar and midrashes ben. Then it's relevant in another area. That's the premise of the Gemara. We have a midah of mamatzim. If you have a pasuk in chumash, let's say the pasuk says shor bor ma behever arba avos nizikin. Why they called avos? Mechla dika told us. What's the din of the toldus? So the Gemara says the first sugim of Kamba told the same kayetze b'hem. How do you know told the same kayetze b'hem? It's from the midah shatar and the drashes b'hem. That's the midah binyanaf. If the Torah has, the Torah describes the situation of shor, bor, ma behever, eish, shemiregel, karen, whatever the case happens to be. So anything that's sufficiently similar, we assume is going to have the same din. We extend the din to all cases that are sufficiently similar. However, we have a limitation. We extend the din to all things that are sufficiently similar because we assume all the dinim and the Torah fit into one big pattern. All the dinim and the Torah fit into one big mosaic. But if I know that a certain din is chidish, it's a yotzim and a klal, then it doesn't fit into the pattern. So you can't. If you have a parsha in the Torah that has 1,001 dinim, and one of the 1,001 dinim is a chiddush. It's a sosos haklal. So you have no right to take even the other 1,000 dinim that don't seem to be yotzim and haklal. You have no right to extend them and to say that they apply in all other cases which are sufficiently similar. Maybe just like one of the 1,001 dinim is a chiddush sosos haklal, maybe the other 1,000 details of the parsha are also yotzim and haklal. So that din doesn't fit into the pattern. You have no right to learn it out. So the Gemara says here, the Gemara has a suggestion that maybe Basa B'chalav is a Chiddush. So therefore, you can't learn anything out. Abai says, let's learn out from Basa B'chalav to Kola Tarakula, the Tam Kikir is their Isim. And Rabbi says, you can't learn out because maybe Basa B'chalav is a Chiddush. Why is it a Chiddush? So Rashi over here says, because the Basa alone is Mut and the Chalav alone is Mut. When you combine the two, it becomes Aser. So that's a Chiddush. That's an exception to the rule. You mix heter and heter, and all of a sudden it becomes this. So Tosfos says the Gemara suggested that, and the Gemara backed out from that. Tosfos di mamascha chiddushu. So Tosfos says the Gemara suggested if a tamza lo koi, there's a mistake here. It should say lo koi doesn't remain the lamaskana. When the Gemara in Psochem and in Nazir mentions that, so the Gemara says the Gemara backs out from that. That's not such a big chiddush. But that's what Kloy HaKerem is all about. The Chitim is Mutter, and grapes is Mutter. When you have the combination of Chitim, Mesorim, and Geffen all together, each one, A, B, and C, each one is Mutter. When you have all three together, everything becomes Asavano. So that itself, that Zebif Neatzma is Mutter, Zebif Neatzma is Mutter, when you combine them together, it becomes Asav. That's not such a Chiddush. So what is the unique feature of Basa B'chala? Why do you call it a chiddush that you can a chiddush le'afinan? So it says the real reason lefi maskanas haGemara is because in Basa B'chala there are additional cases, not only derech bishul. Let's say the Basa succeeds in giving tamin to the chalav through kavush or through kavush or through maliach kiresech. Kavush kemivush or maliach kiresech. So in Kol HaTarakula, we would have said, if there's a din of Tam Kiker, it should apply not only to Bishul, even Bliyas Tzainet, even a Bli Ayde Kovish, or even a Bli Ayde Maliach, Ayde Malichem, if you have a lot of salt. And that for sure is not correct. By Basa B'chala, Maliach, Kerasech, Kovish, Kemavushal, there's only Basa B'chala, the Rabbanim. So you see that Basa B'chala is a Chiddush, that the Klal from Kol HaTarakula, if there would have been a din of Tam Kiker, there is, it would have applied equally to Bishul, into Maliach, into Kavush, but Basa B'chalav, Maliach and Kavush is only the Rabbanim. So that's how you see that Basa B'chalav is a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush L'Hokel. It's a Chiddush L'Hokel, that Derech Maliach and Derech Kavush is only the Rabbanim. So therefore, even the Chumer that Basa B'chalav has, namely that you say, Tam Kika Deraisa, also you have no right to assume that that's a universal din in Kol HaTarakula. Maybe in Kol HaTarakula, Tam Kika will be the Rabbanit. Maybe it's only the Reis and Basa B'chalav. Because you see, the Basa B'chalav is a Chiddush, has a Chiddush L'Hokel, so maybe when it says L'Hachmir, is also a Chiddush. You can't tell. Maybe everything is a kula chiddush. So that's the first part. That's the easy part of the Gemara. The machloikas Abai v'Rav. Abai thinks that we don't need all the other psukim. We don't need all the psukim to teach you that tam ki yikar d'oraisa. You should derive it from the institution of Bas B'Cholom. And then Rav shlugs him up. Rav says you can't derive from Bas B'Cholom because Bas B'Cholom is a chiddush. So it must be that you need the psukim. And Tosis points out that Mistama Abai backed out. The last line of Tosis, Mi Basa B'Cholom. That's Yeshlama. Abai kibla mi Rav shidocha Dochalo. Rav rejected what Abai said. B'chazaba, Abai backed out. So that's why he himself learns out Tam Kike from other sources. Yeah, that's what Tosafot points out. Abai himself appears on the other sugyas, and he's learning out Tam Kike from other psukim. So it means because he backed out over here from what he said. He backed out and realized that Rav was right. But the main sugya of Tipas Cholov is the next piece of Gemara. Next piece of Gemara, Rav comes up with a chiddush. Amar Rav, we pointed out that the Rashi and Kuf Tesam and Aleph quotes the Rav and Shmuel both hold like Rabbi Yudah. What was this machlekes Rabbi Yudah, the Rabbanan? So the pasuk says on Yom Kippur, V'lokach hakoy midam hapor umidam hasoir. He shechts the parachatas hashaloi, and he takes the dam and his mazah in the Kodesh Kodoshim in front of the Oren and Bais Rishon. The Oren was there. By Sheni, the Orem wasn't there. Question where the Orem was, historical question, the Gemara. But the Orem was not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he would be mazeh in the Bai Sheni pair, he would be mazeh in front of the location where the Orem used to be. Just like he say, Kitchalosi Lovoi on the Azorah and on the Heichal and on every part of the Beis HaMikdash, he even say, Kitchalosi Lovoi on that location within the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that location where the Kohen Gadol would do the Zrikas Adam and the Bais Rishon, so that location is Kitcha Lo Silova. That part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim retains that status, and the Kohen Gadol can do the Zrikas Adam, the Hazoras Adam there. Achz Lamayla V'Shev Lamati can do the Zrikas Adam there. So in the Bais Sheni, he would be zorik the dam parachatas hashelo by Swishan also. Okay, he would be zorik the dam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then in front of the Peroiches, then the soyer hamishtalech would be held in the soyer Lashem. They would shecht and they would be mazeh the dam achzel ma'aleh shevel amata in front of the Oren, or in front of by Shen Pir, in front of where the location of the Oren used to be. Then be mazeh the dam in front of the Peroiches in the Heichal, in front of the Peroiches. Then and mix together ma'arvin lekronos. They would mix together with lakach hakoyim midam hapor or midam hazor. He would mix it together. And then mimaze on the four corners hamizbeach hapnimi achas bashana all year long. There's an iser. You're not allowed to be zorik any dam on the mizbeach hapnimi. It's only reserved for haktoris and the mizbeach haktoris. All the korbanos with dam are supposed to be offered on the mizbeach hachitzon. Once in a long while, once on Yom Kippur, every year on Yom Kippur, you do Zrikas Adam inside. If you have a Sawyer Par Kohen Gadol, you do it inside. Par Kohen Gadol, you do it inside. But Par Kohen Gadol Shel Tzibur, you do it Zechatos HaPnimius, you do the Zrikas Adam inside. So here on Yom Kippur, you mix together, V'lokach HaKoyim Midam HaPar Midam Masam Arvin LeKronis, mix the dam together to do the Matona on the four Kronis and the seven Matonas on Al Al Gaga Shalom is Be'ech HaPnimi. So the Tanoim were all wondering, but usually the par is a big fat animal, and the soyer is a skinny malink. So there's probably going to be much more Dama Par than there's going to be Dama Soyer. So why shouldn't I say the Dama Soyer should be bottled by Raif? It's probably going to be way more Dama Par than Dama Soyer. It's a bigger, fatter animal. Unless you're going to hold the Klisharis under the neck a shorter period of time. So let's say you'll hold the klisharis under the neck of the soir for a longer period of time. So you have more dam hasor than you're going to have dam hapar. So let the dam hapar be bottled beroiv. What is the probability that the dam hapar, dam hasor are going to be 50-50? The odds are a billion to one, a billion, trillion, zillion to one. How can it be that it's going to be exactly 50-50? It's highly, highly unlikely. Never going to happen. So whichever is going to be roiv, the miut should be bottled by Rive. So I should say he's only being Zorik the Dam of the Rive. Whatever is in the miut is bottled by Rive. So it came out that he didn't really fulfill the mitzvah of Lokacha Kaimidama Parmidama Sar. So the Tanoim were bothered with this kashin. How can the Kohen Gadol fulfill that din in the Chumash? And Parsha Zachari Mos for Lokacha Kaimidama Parmidama Sar. So Yehuda came up with the Chiddush that min b'min alei batel. If it's dam with dam and it's lach b'lach, that's what Tosfos says. It's lach b'lach, if it's yavish b'yavish, so yavish b'yavish is a different kind of a taruvah. So that you don't say min b'min alei batel. Tosfos proves it. Tosfos in Perek HaNezak and proves it from the Gemaras. Rabbi Yehuda Shita that min b'min alei batel is only on lach b'lach, doesn't apply to the yavish b'yavish. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that lach b'lach, min b'min is not batel. It's only bit when there's a clash. When it's min, there's no clash. It's mine, my yain, the yain, shemen, b'shemen. Whenever it's lach b'lach, the same thing, so it's not bottle. The Rabbana disagree, and they say, no, the fact that one is het, one is iser, usually that makes it into shnei minim. So there is a clash. One is mut and one is asa. But if it's olim, dam apar and the dam asa are both supposed to be korev on the mizbech. Both the dam apar and the dam asa are supposed to be nizrik on the mizbech. So mikan the oilman shame of atlan zezef. They're both supposed to be korev on the mizbeach. Then it's not bottle. So that's the famous Ran and Adorim on the afternoon base, where the Ran explains this that the both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon agree that in principle, whenever there's no clash between the roiv and the miut, the lach balach, that when it's sarva yachad, whenever there's no clash, then it's not bottle b'roiv. And they both say the same thing. Whenever it's mid minoi. So then there's no clash. But they argue what's the definition of mimimina. So whereas Rabbi Yehuda thinks that mimimina means yayin b'yayin, adam b'dam, or mayim b'mayim, whenever it's the same thing in Metzius. So Rabbana disagree, they say, no, that's not it. Not in Metzius, it's the same. If alpi halachim, ikan la'olin, if they're both supposed to be nizrak on the mizbech, then it's not bottled. But let's say one is treif and one is kosher. You have like over here, you have basa b'cholov, and the cholov that was balu and the basa that became treif is not going to go out and get mixed in with the rest of the cholov in the pot. So mixing cholov ha'asur into cholov hamutter. So the cholov ha'asur is also because it became basa b'cholov. The cholov hamutter is plain cholov. So if you have cholov b'cholov, one is also one is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda said that's min b'mina because in Metzius it's cholov b'cholov. And that's a Rabbi Shmuel Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda. Min eloi batel, there's no clash. And Tosfos Paschal like the Chachamim. Yachad the Rabbi Malachi Kiram. Why should all of a sudden Rashi Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda? Rashi, he would have said the same also, Yachad the Rabbi Malachi. But Rabbi Shmuel hold like that. Rabbi Shmuel and the Sugi, they both hold like Rabbi Yehuda. They're min eloi batel. So that's what leads Rashi to assume that the din is like Rabbi Yehuda. And we Paschal like Tosfos, that min is batel. Why? Because it's really min mishena mina. But if it will be heter the heter, not only mikan lo oil and shame of atlan zezeh, if the both damim are supposed to be nizvak al gabi hamizbeach, that then there's no clash. Whenever it's heter the heter, is not bottle. Yeah. So Belineta, tomorrow we'll have to continue. Tomorrow they're having a spadim for Dr. Lamb that's going to start, I think, at 12:30. He really gave his life for the yeshiva. He deserves that we should listen to the hesped. So maybe tomorrow we'll have the shir at 10 o'clock for an hour and a half. And that'll be tomorrow, be the exception to the rule. And then the rest of the time, we'll always give the shir Sunday through Thursday at 12 o'clock.
Rabbi, okay. I wanted to ask a question. I didn't want to talk before. Rabbi spoke about the matzahs and the gebrachs and the whole thing. What if the whole story is different, right? Women used to bake the matzahs, and women know that when you bake, you put more, if there's a flour that's sticking out, you have to add more water. And we know matzahs used to be softer. I mean, I think we know that. And now that matzahs are harder, you have this issue of gebrachs, right? If you could, when matzahs were soft, you never had an issue of gebrach because you never had flour on top of the matzah. Because if it's soft, then if a bread is soft, it means there's enough liquid in the bread, right? And that means that all the flour that would be outside the bread is getting all into the mixture, right? If Rebbe would, let's say, look at a batter and the Rebbe would see flour on the batter, then Rebbe would know that this batter is not either not being mixed well enough or needs more water to soak in all the rest of the flour, right? The problem today with gebrachts, I think, comes from the fact that our matzahs, we forgot how to make matzahs, and therefore our matzahs were hard, right? And we didn't put enough water into the matzahs. Therefore, we now had flour on top of the matzahs. And someone came along and said, look, we have flour on top of the matzahs. And then it spiraled out of control. That's how I think this whole thing started.
Could be. I'm not familiar.
No, I'm saying, you know, because when I see the matzahs and I see all the flour on top of the matzah and all the flour pockets, I tell myself that this flour was missing water, you know?
So it's... Sometimes you have flour floating in the air in the bakery. After the matzahs are baked, and then there's so much flour in the air, it'll fall down, it'll land on the matzah. So that's, even the mesnagdim should be careful then. You shouldn't have matzah and water.
What I'm saying is that our matzahs are missing water. And that's why people believe there's a gebrachts issue. Right, if I give Rebbe a soft matzah, I don't think Rebbe could make a good cake out of that because all the flour would be completely mixed into the batter.
Don't know, could be.
Makes sense though.
Yeah, possibility. Okay,
that's all I wanted there. Okay, thank you, I appreciate it.
Rebbe, according to the Yerushalmi, why would Shalosh Seudos not be on Yom Tov as well?
I don't know. It's a good question. If you have Lacha Mishnah Zeche Laman, so why don't you have Shalosh Seudos? I don't know. Maybe because the whole idea of Lacha Mishnah is like the Vilna Gaon said, to cut all the challahs, to add up to 12 chatzayim, and they only switched the lechem aponim on Shabbos. They didn't switch it on Yom Tov, maybe? I don't know.
Rebbe doesn't use 12 challahs on Shabbos? Rebbe doesn't have 12 challahs on his table on Shabbos?
No, only the Chassidish Rebbes do that. I'm not a Chassidish Rebbe. Very good.
Besser Azay.
We'll survive. Enjoy. Okay, everybody have a nice day.
Enjoy, bye.
Batteries running down.